What's up? It's Tyler Sorrow, the Mad Dog, and welcome back here to another episode of Sox Talk. Today I'm with my brother Hunter Sorrow and with the voice of reason, Dan O'Rourke. Dan, say hello.
How's it going?
We have Dan on the line right now, and Hunter is live with us here in studio in Massachusetts after the Red Sox 10-7 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays.
This is an ugly one.
It was very ugly. I gave the Boston Red Sox on this game, I gave them a B- for the win.
You had to give the bats an A+.
No.
Bullpen.
No.
Bullpen gets an F.
Yes, bullpen does get an F. They were terrible. But so the Red Sox.
I wouldn't even give them a B-. I wouldn't even give them a B-.
So the Red Sox win 10-7. I give them a grade B-. Good start for the road trip. First team to 80 wins on pace for a franchise best 114 wins. All right, so here are my game notes. Starting with just Betts is striking out a lot more than we're used to seeing. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are.
I just think...
He's not really comfortable at the plate. It's gotten to a point where in these past couple games, I'm just expecting him to get out. He came up with a big triple today, but he didn't look good in his other bets.
Yeah, and we're used to him being a guy that never striked out. I think before the All-Star break, he only struck out 5 times, maybe?
That's a lie. But
it's not a lie.
Yeah, I don't think that's an entirely true stat.
But he didn't strike out.
He never struck out.
All right, and another thing I want to take is I want to get to Pomeranz's outing now. He's having trouble throwing that first strike, and when you watch Porcello and Eovaldi, the one thing they were doing was getting that first strike. Pomeranz just had a really tough time finding that strike zone tonight with very low velocity pitches. I know he's not been known to throw hard these past couple of years with the Red Sox, but I didn't know that his four-seamer was in the high 80s. I did not know that. I thought it was a little higher than that.
Yeah, I've told you before, he's their worst starter in their rotation. And honestly, I wasn't that surprised by what he did today. His performance was not good. Didn't expect it to be good. I did expect him to throw more strikes, like you talked about throwing the first strike. He threw 84 pitches, and in those 84 pitches, only 44 of them were strikes. So 44 strikes, 40 balls. That is ugly.
Yeah. Pitches by the third inning, he was up to 57 by the end of the third inning. So that was very bad. Another thing I want to point out is that. He's way too reliant on his knuckle curveball, and it's a very predictable pitch. It's a bad pitch. It was not a punch out pitch all night tonight. It was brutal. It was terrible.
All around awful pitching.
He's not.
No one pitched well.
He's not.
Pomeranz, Workman, Kelly.
Yeah, but I think the thing with Pomeranz is he doesn't have a punch-out pitch, and it seems like whenever he gets a runner on base, he always has more trouble. And you saw that two-run home run he gave up because he doesn't have a punch-out pitch. You know, that knuckle curveball is way too predictable. You can see it from a mile away because it starts so high.
I agree with you there. I mean, there's no argument he doesn't have a punch-out pitch, but he doesn't have really any pitches to begin with.
Yeah, his changeups.
He doesn't get people out.
Could he become a ground ball pitcher, maybe? He could work on that. Something like Stroman tonight, you know, become a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta try something, because what he's doing right now is like his third start back from injury, and none of them have gone well.
Yeah. Right, another point I want to get to is, why did Cora, and I know Moreland hit the big home run in the 10th tonight, but why would he put Moreland in over Pierce? I mean, you got to stick with the hot hand, do you?
Not against the righty. I mean, he's been pretty cute. He's been pretty consistent. Pierce against lefties, Moreland against righties. It's kind of worked out. Moreland had the big hit today. I mean, could have brought in Pierce at one point, but, I mean, ultimately, you know, for him in the end, and when they hit the home run, they win the game. But I like to think that, or I like to think that there's consistency with that. They're all, you know, Dan.
Can you move your mouth away from the microphone, please?
My mouth is not anywhere near the microphone. I'm sorry.
It was just right near the microphone, and I couldn't hear a thing
you were
saying.
It sounded like you swallowed the microphone for a minute there.
I just have the phone by my ear, but okay. Next point.
Stroman, as we saw tonight, he's got stuff. If the Blue Jays do put him up on waivers, which his cap, I don't think they will because I think they want to build around him, but would that be something the Red Sox would consider adding, or do you think they want to stay below that luxury tax? Just overall, would they want to bring in another pitcher from waivers, or do they want to stay below that luxury tax?
I feel like they need to bring in a reliever.
Well, waivers is very tricky because no matter who you bring in, it's going to be a very...
They should look for bullpen help, as shown by their inability to get anybody out tonight. But if Stroman were available, if they could give up very little for him, if they could get him for the right price, I would consider it, and I would consider going over the luxury tax for him, because with Stroman, you get a guy that's a quality starter, but...
I mean, but no matter what, typically when you pick a player up off waivers, they're going to have a very high salary cap, which the Red Sox cannot handle right now as far as what they're operating with. This team is costing John Henry nearly $250 million to keep intact.
I mean, he has the money, so if he's willing to pay for that, he's willing to...
Yeah, that's not a problem.
...on this ride to go compete for a championship, then if he's willing to pay the luxury tax, then yeah, I say go for it. But like I said, the bigger need is definitely in the bullpen.
All right. And another point I want to get to, Xander Bogaerts, he had a pretty rough night tonight, and he's had a pretty rough season overall, I'd like to say. I know he has had a power surge this year, but... I looked up his stats. He's 25 right now. He's still a reliable defender. He's Jeter-like. We've heard him say he's idolized Jeter. You look at his stats. In 2013, he batted .250 with one home run. 2014, he batted .240 with 12 home runs. 2015, he batted .320 with 7 home runs. He won a Silver Slugger that year. 2016, he batted .294 with 21 home runs. He was an All-Star and a Silver Slugger that year. 2017, he batted .273 with 10 home runs. Down year from those two previous great years. And now in 2018, he's hitting .273 with 16 home runs. And I think he's sort of on the decline, and I don't know what's happened because 2015 and 2016, he looked like he could be future, I don't know, Silver Slugger 6 times in a row. He was a legit number one bat in the lineup, and it just sort of seems like now he's just lining out. I don't know if that's luck or I don't know. But there's a sort of a gray area between 2017 and 2018 because he's not having the same production at the bat.
So, what's your question?
Has Xander lost a step?
One more time.
Has Xander Bogaerts lost a step?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. He's struggled a little bit as of late, but...
When's the last time he hit a home run, though?
Let's not forget he started off the year as the hottest hitter in the baseball until he got injured.
When's the last time he hit a home run? I mean, if you need him on the stretch run, you need him on the stretch run.
I mean, people don't usually rely on their shortstops to be power hitters.
I mean, I don't think he's lost it. I don't think you can say he's lost a step. I mean, .273 is still respectable with the home runs. Like, it's not, he's still on pace to hit 20 of them this year. Like, that's a respectable amount for a shortstop who's really more of a defensive. But he provides for you offensively, and he is one of his hot streaks away from getting that thing up to 280, 285. And he hits a couple home runs along the way. He's up to 285 and 20 home runs. Like, that's solid production.
I know, it's just the standard he set in 2015 and 2016. Back-to-back Silver Sluggers and an All-Star. I mean, come on, Sander. All right, next point.
I see what you're saying, but you can't expect...
I know.
Consistency, though, that kind of consistency is like the legends. Like,
but I just feel like he's cooled off and started taking a step back down. I feel like he's taking a step back down the stretch.
Over their years as they gain experience, it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, okay. Next point, I just want to hit this one really quickly. Eduardo Nunez is a great hustler. I saw a play in the, I want to say, second inning today where he almost beat out another ground ball. He's doing that a lot, and I think that could pay dividends come October. He's just a really hard-working guy that I think he runs out every single ball he hits in the infield, and I just really like that characteristic. It could rub off on other players.
I like that a lot too. Nunez is one of my favorite players. Should be doing this hustle we're talking about. I love watching him beat out ground balls. He's the only one on the team that I can say consistently runs as hard as he can and hits ball. Legitimately wants to beat on every single ground ball he hits. I love that. I don't think he'll wear off on anyone. I don't think that. Like, it's kind of a mindset, and you can't really change that for people. Once you're in the major leagues, they're not going to change anything. Like, I don't think you're going to see Mookie Betts run out every ground ball because he looks at Nunez and goes, like, oh, Nunez is running everything. The guy should be attendee, Moreland, JD. Like, I don't think that it's going to rub off on anyone. I just really like watching Nunez do it.
All right, Hunter, any last thoughts on that before we get to the Mad Dog question of the day?
I also think the guys that Dan was just talking about that don't run them out all the time make up for that in
they're power. They're the divas of the team.
They make up for it in batting average. I think Nunez wouldn't get by without running out every single ground ball.
Yeah, like guys like Brock Holt, the guys that are fighting to play every single day. All right, so now time for Tyler Sarr with the Mad Dogs question of the day. All right, what was more satisfying as a Sox fan, the 4-game sweep of the Yankees over the weekend or 9 games up on the division? Text me at 508-431-3403 or email me at tylersarro53@gmail.com for your answers. Once again, that is, what is more satisfying as a Sox fan, a 4-game sweep of the Yankees over the weekend or a 9-game lead up in the division? Text at 508-431-3403 or email me at tylersarro53@gmail.com. Hope you guys got all that. Okay, so now we get to the fourth inning, where the Red Sox finally get to Stroman. Martinez provides the offense in the fourth, his 94th RBI of the season. Great base running by Benintendi, getting a good jump. But it feels like it just takes one of those two guys, Betts or Martinez, to get the offense going. And other than that, I just, you know, the bottom four of the lineup are basically four outs in a row. I mean, they were silent tonight, maybe except Sandy. Very poor. Any thoughts on that, Dan?
I couldn't agree with you more. It was very poor. I got to the 7th, 8th inning. The Red Sox had 2 hits, and they were both JD Martinez. No one else. Like, Benintendi that inning, he scored that inning, he reached on an error. Like, he didn't get a hit. So, the Red Sox really need, they're not going to have every game, they're not going to be able to count on JD Martinez and have him physically carry them to this victory. So I feel like that's what they did. Like, he got them into that, just he brought them back into this game and ultimately gave them the opportunity. They should have won in the 9th. When he hit that home run in the 8th, that should have been the game. Barnes and Kimbrell.
We'll get to that point. We'll get to that point. Trust me. We
got for it in the 10th.
Oh, I have my opinions on that point.
JD Martinez, hats off to him. He carried them through that one. He was.
Get on my back. I'll take you there.
Helped him. That was all him.
Honestly, everybody else was a trash can tonight. All right, and another thing I want to get to in that same fourth inning, we had 2 men on with 1 out, and then Xander Bogaerts, who we mentioned earlier, has cooled off here in the stretch run, grounds into a double play with something cooking, 6-4-3 double play. I mean, like, come on, like, if we have something going, hit the ball in the air. If you're going to hit it on the ground with 1 out, you know, hit it between a baseman, you know, I don't.
I mean,
it's frustrating.
It happens, though. Like, obviously, it's not ideal. You don't want a player who you look at as highly as Xander Bogaerts to make a play like that, but, you know, sometimes it's just not your night. Sometimes you're in a little bit of a slump. You got in your double play. It's part of baseball. Hopefully, he'll come back tomorrow and help out the team a little bit.
All right, and another thing I want to get to is Paul Moranz's line. He finished up in the 5th. He went 4 2/3 with 5 walks on 84 pitches, only 1 K, and that brings me back to the point that he does not have a punch-out pitch. He doesn't have a legitimate breaking ball because that knuckle or curve starts out so high, and you can see it coming from a mile away. He gave up 4 hits and 2 earned. He was lucky to get out with 2 earned. Very subpar performance. And then Hembry was subbed in for 0.1 of an inning. I don't know what Cora was doing taking him out. I think Hembry could have pitched what Workman. we'll get to Workman's inning in a little bit. But Hembry was only in for 1/3 of an inning. I just didn't really understand that decision from Cora. I think he sort of burned through bullpen arms a little too hastily. And sometimes you got to stick with guys like Hembry.
I hear you. It was a little quick, but I mean, Hembry didn't have his stuff. like, he looked all right, but, I mean, I don't blame Cora for wanting to go for direction. I mean, we watched Hembree in that game against the Yankees. Like, he didn't pitch that well. So, I mean, I don't blame Cora for looking at it and being like, all right, we're in this. I've seen this situation before. Maybe I want to go in a different direction, get a guy who hasn't pitched in a few days. Like, Workman hasn't pitched in a long time, so he probably looked at it and said, hey, I got this guy who hasn't pitched in a few days, fresh arm.
Yeah, we'll get to Workman.
And ultimately, he didn't give up any runs, but you said we're going to talk about Workman later. He did not look good.
Yes. And another thing I just want to, my final thoughts on Drew Pomeranz's outing. He is letting batters pull the ball way too much, and that is going to get the ball out of the ballpark. He has way too much on the inside hands of the batters, and he doesn't paint the outside corner like we saw Price the other night. Price, I despise Price, but I haven't really seen any teams go pull heavy on him.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to reiterate, I feel like we haven't talked about this enough. Drew Pomeranz threw 84 pitches tonight, and 40 of them were balls.
That's not just
lack of put-out pitches. That is him just not throwing strikes, which is a problem.
I felt like it wasn't... his fastball is just, I don't know, lack of command, lack of velocity, lack of a put-out pitch. Yeah. It's the perfect package for nothing. The only good thing about him is he's a lefty.
Like, if you throw 40 balls, just under half of the pitches you throw are balls. Is that a command thing? Or is that, like, are they, like, trying to keep him from putting it out over the plate for them to rake? Like, are they worried? So, like, they're trying to stay away from batters, like, pitch away from batters, and he's just not getting them to swing? Like, is that their game plan? Like, they want Pomeranz to throw balls and hope
Pomeranz,
they swing at him?
Pomeranz would be in Pawtucket.
Is he just not controlling his pitches, and he's aiming for the strike zone, and he's just missing so badly that he's missing 50% of the time?
Pomeranz would be in Pawtucket if he wasn't a lefty. I'm convinced on that. 100%. They need him in the bullpen now. All right.
They need to figure out what his deal is. Is it a command thing? They have no confidence in him? Does he not have any confidence in himself? Does Sandy not have confidence in him? So he's lining up outside the strike zone? Like, what? What is it?
Yeah. Okay, and Workman, he comes in. I know. He comes in, and he immediately loads the bases. He lets up a single. He hits a batter, and he walks a batter. Fortunately, Sandy makes a couple great plays to get him out of it, but why, I don't know why Cora had to take Hembree out. I just want to bring that point right back just real quick. Why did Cora take Hembree out so quickly?
You can't put that on Cora. That doesn't fall on
Cora.
Well,
I mean, but why?
Cora didn't hit the batter. Cora didn't walk him. That,
I understand Workman has to perform, but the guy's throwing beanbags over the plate. I mean, it was a watermelon.
Ultimately, you can't blame Cora if the pitcher's not performing.
Workman, I was worried about Workman's velocity. I thought he was injured tonight. He was terrible. You know, a lot like the whole Red Sox bullpen. I give them an F.
I have time under here. Like, it's Cora's job to make the best decision, or what he thinks is the best decision for the club. Ultimately, he brought in a pitcher that hadn't pitched in a few days, like in a really long time, really, a week or so. Like, you know, you're getting a fresh arm with the guy. It's up to execution at that point. Workman just didn't execute it. So
but ultimately, he does get out of a bases loaded with no outs chance.
Like, he got out of it, though. No runs.
Yeah, I mean, so that's impressive, you know? Okay, so another point I want to get to. Joe Kelly let a run up tonight. He was
Joe Kelly.
I don't know what they're going to do with him. He's a sitting duck every time he goes out there. He has no breaking ball.
Awful.
He has no breaking ball.
Awful. Worst arm in the pen. And I love Joe Kelly. I used to when he was.
When we traded Lackey for Kelly, I was excited.
I love his arm. I love how hard he throws. He just has no movement on that fastball.
In the MLB, you can throw 108. But if you have no breaking ball, if you have no movement, you're going to get batted around the yard. That's inevitable. Okay.
Not to mention, what the heck was he doing on that pickoff throw? Like, why was he so infatuated with the runner on second base? He just didn't get back on the guy. He just had to worry about the guy at the plate.
Oh, yeah, that's something
like,
I meant to get to on
third. As long as you keep an eye on him, he's not going. He's not going anywhere. He's throwing the ball in the center field.
That's something I meant to get to when
throw that ball in the center field. A run doesn't score.
Yeah, that's something I meant to get to on Pomeranz. The way he threw the ball over to check on batter on runners on the bases was disgusting. It was he would toss it over there. He would throw. It was like he was throwing a beanbag to first base. He wasn't making any effort. And I was.
I mean, I'd much rather have that than have Kelly fucking fire a 100-mile-an-hour fastball into center field.
Yeah. All right. And fortunately for the Red Sox, Stroman, that's his name, Marcus Stroman, had to leave the game with a blister. He went 7 with 4 Ks, only let up 2 hits, 1 run, no
earned. What are the odds of that?
I know.
Hit anything that guy was throwing.
And as soon...
He has to leave due to a blister. What are the odds?
As soon as he leaves, they get to the Blue Jays bullpen, and then J.D. hits a 3-run homer in the 8th. I mean, lucky for the Red Sox.
Look on that pitcher's face when he hit it, though. Priceless. Hilarious.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Then the guy got booted after yelling at the ump.
Yeah, that was awesome. But then you have Barnes come in. He lets one up in the 8th. He looked good. I thought his breaking ball looked good. I love Barnes because he's the only legit ball arm in our bullpen. Don't say Brazier, Hunter.
I keep hearing people say, I'm not a fan of anyone in their bullpen. My favorite bullpen arm is obviously Kimbrel, and my other favorite one is Brazier of all people.
Brazier. Like, you're crazy horny for Brazier for some reason. I don't know why.
I also agree with you on that.
Like you,
just because he can throw 98,
Barnes is the only
he's not good.
Good arm in their pen. Like,
why do you think we had never heard of him before this year?
You can't trust him in situations.
When's the last time he was at Barone?
I don't know, but I hate Brazier.
He can't do it against the Toronto Blue Jays. Their best hitter. That's like 270.
Justin
Smoke.
Smoke.
What is that?
He gave us the taint. All right. Kimbrel looked rusty. Let up a home run to Smoke.
God.
Go and save.
I
honestly,
was watching that. Like that at Batley's.
I'm done with.
I looked over at Hunter. And I said to him, I'm like, I don't like Smoke here. I'm terrified. And then he went and hit a homer.
Here's my thing about this Smoke dude. I mean, about Kimbrel, not Smoke. He hasn't looked the same since the All-Star break. Cause for concern, especially when you need that for close games coming down the stretch.
A little bit, yeah. I am concerned because... This whole game, I'm glad that they won, and it was a good come from behind victory. But this whole game was just a showing of how bad their bullpen is. This game is a huge indicator that Dombrowski needs to find some relief help. There's not a single reliever that's well in this game. Not a single one. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the whole bullpen.
Even in
a playoff series and.
Even in the 10th.
Going into the 7th or 8th after Chris Sale pitches a gem or Diavolo or whoever it is in a one-run game and be confident that you're going
to
win.
Another thing I want to say is just to put more salt on the wound, Tyler Thornburg goes in the 10th, and just let me finish this. Let me finish
God.
This thought.
Don't
he sucks. He is hot garbage.
That last out that he flew out to Benintendi, I thought that thing was leaving. I thought it was supposed to be.
He
a
let up a 2-run homer, and I know you're up by 5. You're throwing strikes, but on an 0-2 pitch to Pilar, after throwing 2 straight balls in the strike zone for strikes, you throw another ball right down the middle.
Who gives a damn? They were up 5. He just wanted to get
out
of the game, so he threw strikes.
I do, because that's how you lose games.
Did they lose?
No, but that's how you lose future games. Okay, if you're throwing that ball, you're not putting that ball anywhere near the strike zone.
I believe you pitch differently if you're up by 1 than you pitch by when you're up by 5.
And no doubt, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying, Tyler Thornburg sucks. He is a hot garbage. He's a block of cheese. He has nothing. Okay, ever since we traded for the guy, he's been a huge problem. Send him down to Pawtucket. I don't want anything to do with him. He's going to lose his games.
You think the Brewers would be willing to give Travis Shaw back
no.
to Thornburg, for Christ's sake?
They would not.
Jeez.
Freaking Thornburg, dude.
Travis Shaw.
The moves.
He's a legit home run hitter now, and they got Devers at third base. Now, don't get me wrong. He has potential, and he could be good, but Travis Shaw's a proven third baseman. Great defensive player and good home run. Just saying.
Yeah. Another thing, just in the top of the 10th, Moreland with a 3-run shot to make it 8-5, then Jackie with a 2-run home run. That's a really good sign seeing Jackie Bradley put another ball out of the park. He's going to be a great spark of offense. And that also in that inning, that's just sparked up sort of a little question for me. I was looking at and comparing batting averages from the 1975 Red Sox outfield to the 2018 Red Sox outfield. 1975, Rice, Evans, Lynn. We know Jerry, not Jerry Rice. But anyways,
yeah.
Hall of Famer. And then 2018, Betts, Benintendi, Bradley Jr. The averages are similar, 275 for both. Jackie Bradley obviously brings the 2018 one down. But yeah, I mean, this is I think, top three outfield in baseball, no doubt.
Especially when you have JD.
Well, yeah, because JD can also play the outfield, but I wouldn't count him as an outfielder. If anything, you know, I want to keep him as far away from the outfield as I can, but it'll be good to have, I think, come playoff time, if we make it to the World Series, JD in the outfield, that'll be it's good that we can put him there instead of, you know, having to put him at first base.
I agree. I mean, it's good to have.
But it also does. It does take Jack. It takes Jackie Bradley out of the game if you do that, though.
I've told you before. I'm ultimately the best Red Sox team with Jackie Bradley in the lineup because of what he brings on people.
Yeah. So
on the base pad, if he's able to put on, obviously, but I ultimately think that they're at their best when JBJ is at center, in center, and then JD Martinez is at DH because all he has to worry about is his next at bat. That's what he's being paid for. He's being paid to hit homers, get hits, drive in runs.
Dude, yeah.
He has 97 RBIs right now. The second highest on RBIs on the Red Sox is Benintendi with 66. 31 RBIs left.
Jeez. I know. He's Manny Ramirez-esque right now, and it rubs off on every other player in the dugout.
It really does. He seems like a great guy. He's always helping somebody with their swing.
You look.
And he's always, like, every time that they show him, he's working on his own swing. He's, like, just swinging without a practice, just practicing, turns going. Like, dude's legit.
All right.
He's a total pro.
So, Mad Dog, as everybody, all my listeners know, I like to keep it under 30 minutes. We're at 27:44 right now, so we're going to give the Mad Dog's closing thoughts. All right, thank you, Dan, for joining tonight. Have a good night, and keep watching the Sox. Thanks for joining us on Sox Talk.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yep.
See you guys.
All right, so Mad Dog's closing thoughts. The bullpen looked disgusting tonight. I give them an F score. Red Sox batting. Now, I'm going to separate this by the first 7 innings and the final 3 innings, okay? So the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and then 1 through 7. 1 through 7, F. They were terrible. J.D. Martinez, the only one supplying any sort of offense. He was the only one. He had 2 hits through that period of time and the only RBI for the Red Sox, which wasn't even earned by Stroman. So they get an F. You know, it was bad. I felt like for a moment there that they were going to get no hit. It had a little bit of that Manaea feel again. Excuse me. And then the final 3 innings of the game, I give them an A-. It would be an A-plus if if they could have got insurance in the top of the 9th, but that's nitpicking, obviously. All right, now I'm going to go starting pitching grade tonight. The Mad Dog starting pitching grade, C-. Pomeranz, he gave us, you know, he only let up 2. It's not like the end of the world, but he's terrible. Sorry. He's a beanbag. He throws absolute seeds over the plate to just be smashed out of the yard. And if he gets a good lineup like the Astros, like the Indians, they're gonna toss him around, and it's not gonna be fun to watch. Another thing I want to point out is for relief pitching tonight, F. Everybody was bad. The only good one I can see is Workman, and he had the bases loaded. Him and Hembry, I guess, they were the only ones that didn't let up any runs. God damn it, that's terrible. Closing pitching, Kimbrel, F, blown save. I want to do this podcast a lot earlier than 11:20 right now, but Craig Kimbrel had different ideas. But all in all, Red Sox 10-7 win. so not bad. We have two more games against the Blue Jays, so those are going to be important. And then right after the Blue Jays series and before the four-game Orioles series, you're going to hear another podcast from me. So that's going to be, so today's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, I'll have another podcast. And then I'll have the first game of the Orioles covered, which is going to be the Friday. And then after the four-game series, I'll have my closing thoughts on that series. But yeah, the Red Sox, I can easily see them going 7-0 in this pretty, not a really important stretch. But I think they could gain a game on the Yankees here or there. How are the Yankees doing? Can I get a score check on the Yankees before we close? They're playing the White Sox tonight. Can I get a quick score check on the Yanks? I know they won yesterday, so they gained a half a game. So right now it's at 9.5, depending on, I don't know what happened with the Yankees right now, because we're obviously
the Yankees are currently up 3-1 in the top of the 10th with two outs.
All right, so extra innings in the south side of Chicago. Yankees up 3-1.
Stanton in the 10th hit a two-run homer. White Sox still have to bat, but I don't see this looking
too all right promising. So it's gonna look like once again, a 9-game lead for the Red Sox, obviously.
It was a four-hit game for CC.
Four-hit game for CC Sabathia.
And the closers. And for all shutdown.
But again, it's
Betances,
the game.
Betances, one inning, no hits, no earned runs, no balls, 3 Ks.
And the Yankees have an excellent bullpen, I'm just going to say that. But another thing, I think the Yankees have a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth. It's the White Sox, so nothing to say that the Yankees are in the uprise now. They're still not a great team, but they're a good team. I'm not saying they're a bad team. They're a good team.
And also, the Phillies fighting for a spot in the playoffs.
NL News.
Currently up 1-0 against the Diamondbacks, who are also at the top of their respective division.
All right. And I think just another story that I just find fascinating is the Diamondbacks.
Astros 2-1 winners.
Astros win 2-1, so that's another watch we want to keep for the one seed. But just quickly back to the Diamondbacks, that I think is a fascinating story. They lose their best hitter. Lamb goes out for the season. I'll get to that one. Lamb goes out for the season, and they're still winning, and they're probably going to win their division this year. Another point I want to get to, we're watching the wild card race because it has a lot of, it depends who the Red Sox are going to play in the first round if they get that one seed, which it's looking very likely right now. The Mariners just lost 11-4 to the Texas Rangers, so we're really wondering still, are the Mariners legit? I don't know. Send your thoughts to me at TylerSorrow53@gmail.com. This is the first formal podcast on Sox Talk. I love talking Sox. Be sure to tune in Thursday, Friday, and after the Orioles series. And I hope that this road trip, the Red Sox, they certainly can go undefeated. Should they go undefeated? Yes. They finish up with the Phillies, I believe, on the road trip, and that's why Cora moved Sale back. More if you guys haven't heard this news, Cora moved Sale back in the rotation. To pitch against the Orioles so that he would not have to hit come the Phillies series. And the Red Sox should be favored in every game for the rest of the year. They have 6 more games against the Yankees, so that's something to watch out for. You know, and I don't love people saying that the division's already over after this weekend against the Yankees, because 6 more games against the Yankees, we're not running away with the division, I'd say. We have a safe, comfortable lead, but we're definitely not running away with the division. Just one more quick thought I want to add on. I think the Red Sox come waiver time, not going to do a lot. There's going to be nothing really significant. So I wouldn't really look forward to that. Sorry, Sox fans. I don't think we're going to get a lefty arm for that bullpen that desperately needs one. When it came time for Britain, Groom and Chavez couldn't be traded because Groom was caught for PED, so he has an 80-day untradeable, I don't know what you call it, restriction. And then you can't trade Groom because he's injured, because nobody's going to want an injured prospect, because he would not pass their physical. So I think Britton, we missed one. He would have been huge for this staff. But yeah, I think Pomeranz is going to be moved back to the bullpen overpriced, because we just need the lefty. And I think he'll be serviceable in the bullpen. Will he be good? No. Serviceable? Yes. And I think we won't see Pomeranz the rest of the season in a starting role. If we need to fill in that fifth starter position role, I think it's going to be Brian Johnson. He's 2-1 when he starts with a two. I know it's a sub-4 ERA, I know that. So That's good. But anyways, don't forget the Mad Dog's question of the week. What is more, question of the day, sorry, question of the podcast, I should call it. What's more satisfying as a Red Sox fan, a 4-game sweep of the Yankees over the weekend, or a 9-game up in the division? Text me at 508-431-3403, or email me at tylersour53@gmail.com. And in next this upcoming Thursday's podcast, I'll make sure to answer those questions. But yes, if you are new here to Sox Talk, we talk Red Sox in this home stretch coming down. As the Red Sox approach the playoffs, we have controversial debates. I like to have hard-hitting opinions, obviously. My final closing thoughts: the Red Sox are most likely going to win 100 games, and that's just going to be huge for the city. Because the Red Sox haven't won 100 games since 1946, people are asking me, is it World Series or bust? I'd say yes. Just judging on this team's window, which I think is a completely separate issue, I think they have a 4-year window to win, and I think it's World Series or bust right now. This is the best season I can remember the Red Sox having probably since 2007. 2013, obviously, but I was not in on them until really October, so I think this Red Sox team just needs a little bit more time to marinate for me. But yeah, I think they're legit. I think they're the best team in the MLB right now. Do I think they're the best team in the MLB? No. I think it's the Astros, just purely based off talent. I think it's the Astros. But come waiver time, once again, don't expect the Red Sox to do much. I wouldn't be afraid of Pomeranz. Raccoons are getting into the trash can. And, sorry about that thought. So yeah, I think it's a very exciting time for Boston sports right now. We can also on Sox Talk talk other sports. Hunter, any closing remarks?
No.
That was a no if you could not hear Hunter. So yeah, come back for more Sox Talk this Thursday. I'll have another podcast out depending on when that's published. And then after the Orioles series, I'll follow up with my thoughts and future Red Sox thoughts. So once again, this was Sox Talk. We talk Red Sox here. I have hard-hitting, bold takes, and a lot of people won't agree with me. So if you want to share your thoughts, text me at 508-431-3403 or email me at tylersorrow53@gmail.com. So thank you all for listening in. I hope you like. Please subscribe and shout out the channel. Tell your friends if you like. And yeah, go Sox.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.